More bank reports down the pike.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis. It is a big day for Bank of America. The company is expected to report earnings in about an hour. Yesterday, B of A's outgoing CEO, Ken Lewis, succumbed to pressure from the pay czar and agreed to forego this year's salary and bonus. Let's bring in Marketplace's Steve Henn for more. He joins us live from Washington. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
So what's the pay czar decided to do here?
Well, Steve, he's forcing Ken Lewis to give back about $1 million in compensation Lewis has already earned. And Lewis is agreeing to forego $1.5 million he expected to get for the remainder of the year.
So if Lewis is leaving at the end of the year, shouldn't we really be paying attention to the golden parachute?
Well, absolutely. Lewis is in line for a $53 million pension, plus millions more in deferred comp and stock. When you add it all up, he'll still walk away with more than $69 million.
Now, why is he coming under the microscope, Steve? He's not the first bank executive to resign.
Well, yeah, Lewis has been under a sustained attack for months. You know, his decision to push ahead with the Bank of America's purchase of Merrill late last year, even after he knew Merrill's losses were huge, well, that enraged shareholders. So the fact that Lewis would end up as the pay czar's first target isn't a huge surprise.
And what's the reaction to this been?
Well, you know, forcing someone to give back money they've already earned is a pretty aggressive opening move. And the fact that Lewis just agreed to go along with this relatively quietly, you know, has to strike fear into the hearts of CEOs who were also having their pay packages looked at by Ken Feinberg.
All right. Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us live from Washington. Steve, thanks.
Sure thing.
Let's check numbers. European markets are higher right now, generally a third to about a half a percent. Asian shares barely moved today. The Nikkei was up slightly, but shares in Hong Kong and Shanghai lost a little ground. On Wall Street yesterday, the S&P tacked on about half a percent. The NASDAQ was up barely. The Dow added on to its crossing 10,000 rally, up 47 points to close at 10,062. General Electric reports third quarter earnings this morning. The company is expected to make a profit, though earnings are likely to be down over the same time last year. GE is a complicated blend of businesses, and that means some parts of it are doing better than others, as Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
GE is really a few companies rolled into one. Analysts are worried about GE Capital, its finance unit. For one thing, it holds a lot of subprime mortgages in the UK rather than the US. Morningstar analyst Daniel Holland says that's not all. He says GE Capital does normal bank stuff, like lending money to other companies.
Or to help out with financing inventories, leasing jet aircraft, things like that.
And like other banks, it's taken a big hit during the recession. On the other hand, even though demand for heavy equipment has fallen,
their gas turbine business is doing really well. They're in the top, you know, in the top two or so of wind turbine manufacturers, and they stand to benefit.
GE stands to get billions in stimulus money for its green technologies within a few years. And Holland says the company's industrial side should prosper in the next decade. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, working to reduce traffic and pollution while moving 750,000 tons of freight daily. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. ProduceMoreConserveMore.com.
United Nations sponsors climate change talks in December in Copenhagen, Denmark. And it'll take consensus from the world's biggest polluters to advance the issue and control the greenhouse gases that are affecting climate. Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Steve.
So what does the U.S. take to Copenhagen?
That's the big question mark. The House passed a bill last June that sets an overall cap on carbon emissions, and the Kerry-Boxer bill is moving through the Senate. It's very similar.
And it's just a matter of reconciling these two bills, and then the president signs it before Copenhagen?
Not quite that simple. The real politics here aren't domestic. They're between the United States and China, the world's two biggest emitters of greenhouse gases by humans. China says these bills don't go nearly far enough to reduce carbon. A lot of the debate, Steve, is over the base year from which you measure how much progress you've made on pollution. China and most developing nations want to use 1990. But by that standard, we here in the United States are offering very little. By the year 2020, for example, the cap in the House bill would get us to just about 3% under where we were in 1990.
And why are China, Bob, and other developing nations insisting we do so much more?
Well, so they can do less. They say they are developing, so their consumers should have the same rights to cars and appliances America and other developed nations have long had.
But China is already the world's biggest emitter of greenhouse gases, right, from humans?
Yes, but that's because there are over a billion Chinese, not because their average standard of living is close to Americans. I mean, if the typical Chinese citizen had access to the same number of cars and appliances and everything as the typical American, well, we could kiss the environment goodbye.
So we're going to have to cut a deal with China.
Yeah, but it's not going to be ready by Copenhagen. Look, any cut in greenhouse gases is going to be expensive for American consumers who are in no mood to bear additional costs.
So what's in store then?
It may be awkward, Steve. The president picks up his Nobel Peace Prize in Oslo on December 11th, and then he comes to Copenhagen a week later with very little to offer except the audacity of hope.
Former Labor Secretary and current Professor of Public Policy Robert Reich. Bob, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Share your thoughts about climate change or pocket change and grab a podcast while you're there at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, the price of gold has slipped a bit from its record highs earlier this week, but the fact that it's trading for more than $1,048 an ounce has people in California looking in them thar hills. Geologists say back 160 years ago during the gold rush, only about 20% of the Golden State's gold was found. One successful digger told an LA TV station that if anybody asks where the good stuff is, he tells them somewhere a mile down the river. From Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.